She pointed to me and she said, Michaela, I'm observing a blue bean over there in your arm, breaking that up right now.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Orphic. My name is Alyssa. I'm an astrophysicist. I have my PhD, and I'm interested in understanding the intersection of science and spirituality. So I'm actively working on some research that has to do with new theories about time and consciousness and how threads of time link different aspects of our consciousness together. And I essentially believe that we kind of need to establish an entirely new coordinate system of time. And that's really what I'm working on, and just new theories that kind of unify all the forces of the universe in order to understand it, and especially with the perspective of consciousness and the soul and spirituality. So please follow me on Instagram at interdimensional.astrophysics. Hey.
I had an interesting visual, like when you were like talking about that. I seen like kind of like time as it is right now, how it's almost just like, it's kind of like, okay, so like, I feel like I'm like breaking the fourth wall here a little bit, but as I'm recording the podcast, I'm like watching the recording of my voice, and there's kind of like this line, yeah. And then like, and then it keeps moving, and that's like the now moment. Yeah. And then there's like the whole kind of thing that's like behind it, which is really interesting, because I used to have these thoughts all the time as a kid, because like, is this how present you are, I think, as a kid? Is because like, I would always think about like how right now is like the line, and how it just keeps like moving forward.
Yeah.
Because like, that's all we have.
No, that's cool.
And I have more to add to
that's
that.
That's cool with the, oh yeah, you can go.
Oh no, you can say what you're going to say, but I just so I could circle
back. I was just going to say like, cause I'm also looking at the, you know, the recording, the audio recording thing, and I have my red line moving as you go across, and I'm looking at all the little squiggles up from talking. Which is, and I'm like, oh, so, okay. I never thought about that.
It's just so interesting. So all the little squiggles that come behind, like there's nothing in front of it, but the line keeps moving, but there's nothing in front of it. And then everything behind it are the little squiggles of what's what's being recorded or what's been said. And it's like,
Whoa.
It's just like it's just like that present scene right now, because it's just like everything that's behind is like the past, right? It's the past that's been recorded, and like that's the story, but the whole in front of it is all completely like a blank slate, but it keeps moving forward, and that red down horizontal line is like the now moment, and it keeps moving forward, which is so interesting, because I've had those thoughts so much as like a child growing up, of just like, you know, like, you know, like tomorrow my mom says she's going to take me to the pool, but all I know is like where I'm at right now. And I don't actually know what's going to happen tomorrow. Like, I don't know if we're going to make it to the pool or not. Like, I don't actually know. And like, we talk about the future as if these things, like, as if it's kind of set and it's there, and we talk about the past, but like, we're only like, I don't know. Like, it's just such an interesting right? Because even like right now, like we're just here now, we don't know what's going to happen in 15 seconds from now. And that's fucking crazy. But like as adults, I think we get like all these calendars and we're like, oh yeah, we do know, but like we don't. Like I don't know what's going to happen in an hour or tomorrow, or like what that's going to like feel like or be like. And that's like crazy.
We don't know.
But anyways, so that's how I feel like time is right now. On Earth, and you know, we have ways of like measuring it and stuff like that. But while you were talking, I had the vision that I seen. It was like the line of time was moving forward, but then it would like come back in and like collapse in on itself. So it's like these like moments of time that would be like brought back to like to almost like the beginning point, but it would keep like moving forward, and it almost like kept collapsing in on itself until it was just like making one line from like still point, which is now, but was like also the beginning. I don't know. There's just, it was just the visual
kind of serious
that I seen. It was almost just like everything coming back. Like it's like it felt like a new type of time system of everything being in the now, but like in a different way. But I do think what's interesting about this is because, like, you know, you've been starting to read the Sophia Code, and did you read the part where they were talking about like this still point, like how you will understand that all of your lives are happening simultaneously at the same time, and then you learn to bring yourself back, like right in the middle, like into the still point?
Oh no, I haven't heard them talk about the still point yet.
Okay, no, you'll have to read that.
That sounds cool.
And
though,
get back to me and
cool.
See what your thoughts are. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of just. I'm Michaela. And I'm at Mariposa Moonchild on Instagram, and I feel like I'm just like really in this like download or this like thought now. But yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Mariposa Moonchild, and I desire to support in the impact of the ripple effect of healing across the planet. So yeah, that's my work, and you can check me out here. Or on Instagram or whatever.
In this now moment.
In this now moment.
Catch me in the now. All right. So we're going to start the episode with some grounding breaths just to get a little bit more in our bodies and in the present moment.
So I'm actually going to light sage for this. And which has been a nice change for me, because I've been up until this point using a lot of Palo Santo, which I still love.
Nice. Cacao things.
For anyone who isn't watching the YouTube, I just wiped cacao off the corner of my mouth. Anyways, but this time, instead of the Palo Santo, I've been using sage a lot more. I don't know. And it's showing up today, and it's really nice and lovely, and it's just like a nice switch. And I have my owl feather here as well. So we're going to do some grounding breaths in with the sage today. And my drum also popped up. So we're going to do a little bit of drumming.
Oh, okay. Great.
So yeah, so we'll see where that takes us.
Love it.
So I invite you, if you're able to close your eyes and take a second to tap into your body. And I'm going to light this beautiful sage. It was also gifted to me, so that's nice. And my beautiful owl feather that was also gifted to me and is very special to me. Okay. Eyes closed. Let's take a moment. Hand on our heart. Take a deep, deep breath into our womb space. So deep breath in, filling our lungs all the way to the top. Into the womb and holding here. Hold, 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 and let it go. Another deep breath in, into our bellies, big breath. All the way up, all the way to the top. Pausing here. Pause, hold, hold, hold. And let it go. Another deep breath in into our heart space this time, filling our lungs all the way up. Up, 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 up. Hold. And hold for as long as you can here. Feel your heart beating in your chest, the blood pumping through your veins. Smell the sage. And when you're ready, let it go. And continue just feeling into your body, breathing, connecting to your heart space. Just going to connect to our heartbeats, to our body, and with the drum. So I invite you to, at this time, if you're able to continue with your eyes closed, hand on your heart, and just really go into that heart space and get curious. Ask your heart if it has a message for you or something that it would like to say, or maybe your heart just wants to be still with you at this moment. But let's go in there for a short amount of time. Take another deep cleansing breath in, filling our lungs all the way at the top, holding, pausing, gathering up all your tension into your heart space, and then letting it go with the breath. And just slowly and gently begin to bring yourself back into this space, back into the present moment, into the now.
How have you been doing? What have you been moving through in this last month or so that you would like to share with the class?
Oof. It's like, it's such a loaded question, because it's like, where do I even begin? I mean, like, I know where I begin, but like, where do I even begin, you know?
Mm-hmm. I know.
And especially too, I've been kind of feeling into this, because I was kind of going back and forth if I wanted to get in to what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. Just because I do think there's something to be said about like repeating old stories, and we were talking about that earlier. However, at the same time, I do feeling into it, I do believe that it is important to talk about my experience, because you know, there's a reason why we do this podcast, and a lot of it is recouping, you know, like we were talking about different, you know, storytelling. It is storytelling in different ways. And I think with the awareness of not holding on to the old story, there also comes with a lot of power from letting go of that old story and being liberated from that. And that is the process that I am in. And I also think explaining our process, there's a lot of beauty in medicine and explaining, kind of not even explaining, but speaking to what's going on with us, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. And just kind of how we're moving throughout the world. So with that said, let me feel into how this wants to come up. Okay, so middle of February, I woke up like any other day, went outside to chop wood like I would any other day. And I noticed that my arm was numb. And I was like, okay, well, that's a little strange. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I thought that I probably just tweaked it while I was sleeping or something. Cause you know, we sleep on our arms and they go numb sometimes. And I really didn't think much of it. And then I moved inside to go to the washroom. And when I was using the toilet paper, I looked at my finger. I could still feel the numbness. And I looked at my fingers and I was like, my fingers felt like they were fat. Like they were, and then I was like comparing them to my other fingers. I was like, ooh, okay, that's weird. And then I was like looking at my forearm and I was noticing at that time how my forearm seemed swollen and fat too. And I was like, that's really strange. And it still like feels quite numb. Like I'm realizing like it feels quite numb. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to go. Like I was just up chopping wood and like doing things and I just got out of bed. So I'm just going to like, maybe I tweaked it while I was chopping wood or something, or I don't know, like, or I was doing too much. So or got a nerve or who knows. So I'm just going to go lay down and just lay down flat for like a little bit and just like let it kind of just like go away. And so I laid down and nothing happened. It stayed the same. And then at this point I took off my sweater, my hoodie, and I looked at the top of my arm. And at that time I noticed that it looked like the top of my arm was quite swollen, like quite fat.
Yeah.
And I was like, at that point I knew that something wasn't like quite right. So Bryce was working close to home and I called him because I feel like I just kind of needed a second opinion. So I was like, can you just like come see me and just like look at this and like just see what you think? And he came over and he's like looking at me. He's like, well, no, like it's definitely bigger. Cause I feel like I also like needed the, I like needed the
second eye,
I don't know, reassurance in the moment. And you know, I'm like, am I just making this up? Like,
you need another opinion.
No. And he's like, yeah, no, definitely looks bigger. He's like, you look like Popeye. So I was like, okay.
Nice.
So then after that, I drove myself into the hospital and I waited in the hospital for hours and hours and hours. Like, I don't know. I think I got there at like 10:30 in the morning and they sent me, of course, they sent me for like blood tests and all the different type of tests. And they sent me for an ultrasound. I didn't get my ultrasound until 5 o'clock and I didn't get my results until probably 6 o'clock. And then I heard... how I found out the information was I heard the doctor talking about me on the phone, consulting with another doctor in the, like in the waiting room. And she said, I have a really young girl here with a very extensive blood clot in her like chest arm. And I was like, shit. I knew it. I was like, that's me. But then part of me is just like, oh, maybe it's not me. And I'm like looking around the room and I'm like, yeah. And then I hear her like say Morrison and I'm like, fuck. And then she's talking about how like they're going to admit me and everything. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, this is happening. Cause like up until that point, I knew that was basically worst case scenario. Like you go in with a swollen arm. They're like, it could be colitis. It could be you could tweak the nerve. Like there's all these other things that it could have been. And of course they're going to check for a clot because that's one of the things, but that's kind of like worst case scenario. And also for someone like me, it was highly unlikely because I'm extremely low risk. So it was like, it took me a moment to be like, holy fuck. Like this is actually real. This is happening. Like I haven't really had any other health scares before in my life. I definitely didn't think I was going to be like, I don't know. Like I didn't know what was going on, but I thought I would be going back home to like my house that day and not like, oh, like you're staying here. Like you're sleeping here. Like, you know, Yeah. So yeah, and then I mean the doctor did come over and she talked to me and she said, You have an extensive blood clot in your in your vein, like in it's a DVT, a deep vein thrombosis in your subclavian, brachial, and interjugular veins. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy fuck. And those aren't three separate ones. Like that at the time was all connected.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking like that because I'm on the healing path now and this is dissolving and it's healing and it's, you know, it's moving through and it's moving through my system. And yeah. So that's been, it's been a process for me of something that I've never really dealt with before. Like I said before, I haven't really had a health scare. I've never been admitted to the hospital. It was very strange because usually I'm on the other side of things. Like, you know, or that was more my experience in life where I'm the one, you know,
right.
Going into the patient room where I'm the one that I'm in the hospital 12 hours a day, but I'm seeing patients. Like I'm not the one in the bed. I'm the one on the other side. And so to have those roles reversed was really, really strange for me.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor talked to me, they admitted me, they put me on a heavy dose of an injection blood thinner that I got twice a day in my arm. They were considering even doing a procedure, very invasive procedure where they like take it out, but I guess they consulted with a specialist and he said, let's try blood thinners first because there's like, you know, there's risks associated with that procedure because it is so extremely invasive. And then like, there's a piece, and it's interesting because even with that, there's like, at the time when I was in there and I figured it all out and I was processing it and I was like, holy shit, like, wow. Cause it is serious. Like, you know, it's not like a tummy ache or something, not saying that mm-hmm. that's not like valid and important, but it's, you know, it's not like,
of course, no, it's serious.
Or it's not like, oh, you need more of this supplement. It is like it. Yeah, it just felt
medical. It's like a medical condition emergency.
It was an emergency at that point yeah. when I went in.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what I was leading on with there, but oh yeah, so I was borderline for them considering to do this procedure, and they decided not to go ahead with it. I was in the hospital for about a week and then they wanted to do further testing. So I had to go get an MRI done and yeah. But what is so crazy about it all is like, I have no risk factors for this. Like I have no risk factors, and some risk factors can be like smoking, mm-hmm. being on oral birth control, being pregnant, also age, being up there in age, and I'm talking like plus 50, like nowhere close to my age.
No.
So I had no risk factors and I lead a like fairly healthy lifestyle. Like I'm active. I eat fairly well. Not perfect, but like fairly well.
Yeah.
And so it was just this big question mark. And then so the placing of where it is in my body, because it's also more normal for them to be in legs. And then where it is up in my body is also unusual compared to like it being in your legs, and then just like the age and then having no risk factors. So it was this mystery that the doctors couldn't understand. They were, you know, asking me tons and tons of questions, which is great. And yeah, it remains a mystery. It's like quite strange. Mm-hmm. No one at the hospital knows what's going on. I was referred to a specialist when I got out. I'm going to be referred to another specialist. And now I'm on blood thinners to, you know, break it down over time. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a big process for you, and yeah, like a surprise, something caught you off guard.
It really caught me off guard. Really caught me off guard. Like, I mean, I did not think I was going to, you know, spending that whole week in the hospital, which, I mean, like, you know, most people don't when they're in these situations. Right. But yeah, it was such a interesting experience for me to be on the other side of it. And then just going through all the motions of it, because there are so many different layers and levels to the emotions that came through, because it was/is scary. Like, yeah, you're just like, you know, you're a human, and now you're like, okay, shit, like, maybe I'm not invincible. Not that I thought I was invincible, but I've led a pretty healthy lifestyle, and I didn't really, you know, like, even like, I wasn't on any medications that, like, this could be a side effect from. Like, I'd stopped using oral birth control about 4 years ago because I had gotten an intuitive hit, like, from my guides that was, like, stop using medication. So I stopped using my oral birth control at that time. Same with some other medications that I was on for, like, sleeping and stuff like that. And I had never really looked back. Like, I felt better, and I knew in my body that that was, like, the right decision for me. So even just being told, like, you have to take this medication now, and then hearing you might be on this medication forever was like, whoa. Yeah. And like, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, because like, I'm fucking powerful, but to just allow myself to process that and like being told that is crazy. I'm like, I'm 28, bro. What do you mean I'm going to be on medication forever? Like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm still processing that, because that wasn't that long ago that I was told that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone thinks they're invincible also, by the way, until something happens.
Because you're like, not me. Not me. Like, it's not going to happen to me. Not me. Like, that's not in my reality. Because you haven't experienced it. You're like, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been wild, because so it comes down to, it's a mystery. Like, in my MRI, which was also terrible, by the way, like, my arm got so hot and throbbing and uncomfortable in my MRI. Like, I'm not claustrophobic, but I literally started crying because I was in there for like half an hour too. Like, it was just not a fun experience for me. But like, the porter who like takes you, it's the person like transports you in the hospital, it takes you from like your room down to the whatever test you have to do, and then like back up to your room. As we were leaving, she's like, that's the most people I've ever seen in the MRI room, because that many people had come to watch my MRI. Like literally a lady who was getting me ready, like, another lady was like, isn't it past your shift time, like, aren't you supposed to be leaving? And she's like, yeah, but I want to stay and watch this. Like, people were staying apparently past their, when they should be leaving, to watch my MRI because it was that interesting. So I'm like, oh.
That's like, it's so crazy. So, you know, with this, obviously, like, what we had been talking about with this is, and what we talk about exclusively on this podcast is energetic roots of things and the spiritual emotional root and its connection to the physical in terms of pain and dis-ease and how dis-ease affects the body and how, and I think there's so much of this can come from experiences, ancestral patterns, experiences in this incarnation, experiences in parallel incarnations, contracts, karma, like, a lot of these things I think can all affect this. But I think what's cool about having the perspective that we do is anything can be healed. I so truly believe that. I think that anything can, I think that anything can be healed. And I think that it is kind of just a matter of, you know, maybe understanding something, learning some lesson in addition to maybe implementing physical things. But yeah, I mean, do you want to talk at all about kind of what you've, I mean, not necessarily like specifics or just how you felt about your healing process in terms of that and the what it's, you know, outside of just the physical or where you're at mentally with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a process, very much an ongoing process. Like, I am still uncovering the different layers of this, and I think I still will be for a while, like, as I the pieces click and make more sense and I uncover more and more. But I mean, and that's what's really interesting about there being no cause identified at this time, about me being this kind of mystery case for the doctors and in the hospital, is that, like, it comes down to the energetics. I mean, and everything is energy at the base level too. Even if there was a cause, it's still energy. But even more so, it's like, okay, like, this medication isn't causing it. Like, this risk factor isn't causing it. So, like, energetically, what is going on here? Because something's going on. Something is going on to cause this, like, dis-ease in the body, this literal blockage. Like, something is going on here. So then it's like a fun little fucking Easter egg hunt for me to try to figure out.
Right. That's what this becomes. Yeah.
And there's been so, so many different layers and the emotion that comes with it, because there's some times where I'm like, this is kind of fun. Like, you know, like, I get to tap into my body and I get to tap into these different pieces and I get to be like, what is causing it? And, like, this is obviously taking me deeper to something. Like, I am someone who I fully trust and believe I called into this experience into my reality. I know I did. This is happening.
Full body chills.
Pardon?
I just got full body chills.
Yeah, like, this is happening for me. This is a really powerful time in my life. Maybe the most powerful yet. Like, this is a really powerful time. Does any of that negate that sometimes this fucking sucks and it pisses me off? No, because it does. And that's where I'm going through the motions, and especially, or going through the emotions. Energy in motion, and just letting myself, like, feel it all, especially too with this, like, it's been in this, like, Pisces season, so this really, like, wavy, watery, emotional, like, we're really in the waves and feeling it, and I'm just like, yeah, like, I'm in it, because, like I said, there's the aspect where it's like, oh yeah, it maybe seems fun, like, I get to figure this out and go in deeper, and then, like, the next moment I'm like, fuck this shit, because it affects my life. Not like, one, not only is, have I had feelings of fear of, like, you know, like, when it first happened and was so bad, like, I had to battle just going to sleep at night, because, and I also have a health background, so I know what the risks are. Like, I know what could happen, and I know how bad it could be. I also believe that, like, you know, I'm here for a reason. So, like, I don't think something's going to, like, take me out right now, because, like, that's not, I don't believe that's part of my path or my karma right now. But there still is that fear. So, like, there is also this real facing of, like, death. And that was pretty fucking humble for me too, because, like, I've talked before in, I think, some of the mushroom ceremonies, because there was one specific one where I was like, I might die right now. Go listen to the episode, because it's really good and it's not actually that scary. But I was confronted with, like, kind of more, like, theoretically, like, what that could be and the possibility of that. And I let myself go there and I was like, I'm not afraid to die. And I felt like that for a while. And then all of a sudden, physically, it's like, if this goes sideways, like, that could happen. And I'm like, okay, am I not afraid? Like, I don't know. Like, it really, like, kind of humbled me, right? And so, like, I had to face that and go into that and really surrender to that. And sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I resisted it. And I was like, fuck. And then I also had to sit with it and be like, okay, I just trust. Like, if it gets to that point and if I go right now, I go. And then I had to go, or I got to go back into that and be like, what would it feel like to die? What would it feel like to cross over? And then I get to have that moment with myself where I'm like, I know I'll be okay. Like, I know I trust that my consciousness, like my soul, is eternal, and it'll move on. Like it'll move from my body if it needs to, and it'll go somewhere else. And if that's what it's meant to happen, that's what's meant to happen. But like, holy fuck, is that a process when like it's actually like physical, and you know in the back of your head that there is a risk, and like it could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was experiencing quite a lot of anxiety when I went to sleep sometimes. Like I wouldn't really want to go to sleep because I just would overthink it, I think, and get in my head and kind of psych myself out a little bit. It was okay when I was in the hospital because like I knew that I was like around, and I like had my little bell that I could ring, and like the nurses would come, and like I knew there was a lot of people there. But still, it was like this fear that I experienced, or that played out. And then even more so when I came home, because now I'm like, I live way far away from the hospital. If anything were to happen, like I'm pretty far away, and I understand that how quickly these things can happen and how quickly it can be over. So like this, a concern would be, at the time I felt the fear of there possibly being like a pulmonary embolism, which is when like the clot travels to your blood or breaks, or to your blood, to your lungs, and like breaks off a little bit. And with my medical background, I treated people that had those things, and my very first code, so my very first person that I ever did that I tried to resuscitate, she didn't make it. She was in her 40s, and she died from a pulmonary embolism. So like that was like right there in my head. Because the other thing is, even if I'm not afraid to go, and there's like layers to that too, it's like, I'm not ready. Like, I'll say that. Like, I'm not ready to go. Like, I'm not ready to go at all.
Yeah, that's an important distinction, right? It's like, it's in concept, in, you know, in theory, and also in a controlled theory, of like, yeah, by the time, at the end of my life, like, I won't be afraid, versus out of your control and in practice.
Well, and also like maybe at the end of your life, like I imagine it kind of being like peaceful, like, you know, you like go to sleep and it's like peaceful. So I think part of me, because I still feel that like, no, I'm not, I don't feel afraid to transition, for like my soul or that energy to transition, or my consciousness to experience the other side. But I think it's like the fear of the trauma before that happens.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, like, whenever, if it were to happen, like, not wanting it to hurt or be scary, or, like, you know, like, it's just, like, even if you're not afraid to go to the other places, like, you don't want to drown. You don't want to be on fire. Like, you know what I mean?
No. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, moving through that, and, like, the different layers and emotions of it come and go. And then there's just the frustration too, the frustration of, I don't have any answers. Nobody knows what's going on. The frustration with myself, like, you know, and even the motions of getting into a little bit of victimhood mentality and experiencing that a little bit. Cause you have those moments where it's like, why me? What the fuck? Like, cause this was, like, if it affects my life, like now, of course it affects my life, and like there's certain things that I can't do now, for now, or like traveling and like getting travel insurance. And I'm just like talking about it.
Yeah.
These are all things that I fully believe that I can work through and overcome, and like the high, like, you know, like I know the highest and best outcome will happen for me, but just as like a human with emotions moving through an experience, like these are just things that I felt. I had plans to like travel and do stuff, and now like that's a concern. And anyways, so like it's like affecting my life.
The process of going inward at a deeper level to ask yourself, where is this dis-ease at? Like, even if you don't want to like share anything specific, like what has that process been like? Or like, have you been doing that? Like, how has it been different than your regular going inward? Like, you know, because I feel like that is a process that a lot of us have to do at some point or often, no matter how big or small the dis-ease is or the physical pain. Like, you know, you might have to ask yourself, like, where is this coming from? And like, what am I not seeing? Like, what did I think I was seeing that I'm not seeing?
Yeah, there's a few different things. And I'm still feeling into it all. But I mean, yeah, it is a huge invitation to go in and go in deeper. And like when we were talking about before about like avoiding or whatnot, like this was, I mean, I had the moment, especially when I was first in the hospital, where I was just like scrolling on my phone during the day or like watching 90 Day Fiance because I just didn't even want to feel into it. But then I'm just like, okay, I know I need, this is, you know, the reality of it is this period in my life is a gift. That does not mean that it's not challenging and that I'm not still learning how to navigate it, because I very much am learning to navigate it. But it is a gift in a way where it's like, okay, now you get to go in deeper and build this intimacy with your body. Mm-hmm. There's something that I wanted to say, but it escaped me. What was your total question again?
Like, what's the process been like of going inward to find out, like, is there something I've been missing? Is there something that I've been ignoring? Like going even deeper, and already we kind of are used to going inward a lot. So, but it kind of just, it puts a whole new perspective and like lens on it. Because now, like you were saying, you're like excavating. It's like, okay, like what is this?
Yeah. So there's different pieces of it. And when I felt into it, I think part of it is because blood clots are also healing, like they kind of signal the end of a healing phase. So I think there is,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like when you look into like some of the books that are more like German medicine or like kind of like messages of the body types of books, like things like that.
Yeah. Right.
It can signal like the end of a healing phase, so almost like completion, which I do resonate with that. I feel like I've been doing some really deep healing work, so it's kind of like the end phases of that, like healing in my body and really letting that go. Also, I think it's Louise Hay, she has a book called Messages of the Body. Yeah. And it was talking about like blood referring to joy and how blood clots can be like the like not letting like joy flow and like creativity and stuff like that. And that really, really resonates with me. And I do feel like it is partly that. And like, I, you know, all this information I'm kind of like taking in and filtering and feeling into what feels right to me. Cause I do think there has been like an absence of that in my life in a way. And I think I was in denial of it. Like, I think there was kind of this like going through the motions, but not like really feeling that like ecstatic joy, and also like not being creative. And when I looked at it, like I wasn't being creative. And I think that's part of it in my spiritual practice, because I was sitting to meditate and I was sitting to do those things, but it's almost like I was doing that like prayer aspect and not like the play aspect. So like I was doing the things that are still good for you to sit down and blah 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 blah, but I wasn't having that that like play time.
Right.
And that really resonated with me too. And I think it's also just a level of not, I think, like, with the creativity too, of not like living up like to my full potential, or like sharing those pieces of me, like, because like I do have my business, and I do have I offer my readings and I offer my programs, and those are all really beautiful and I love to connect with people, but I have had some resistance to like showing up online in a consistent way and like really like showing myself. So I think it's pieces of that too. Like, I think, and I think what it really is more than anything, it's just like a real fucking wake up call. It's just like, it's, you know, it's like, cause it is the dis-ease in the body. And it's like, it's a very obvious, like, stop, halt, like something's not right. Something's out of balance. Like, a wake up call. Yeah. Like, you know, you need to sit with this and look at this like now. Like, it's not something like gradual. It's like now. Yeah. So
yeah, not later, now.
Now.
Yeah, right. And it's only going to bring you into more alignment.
Oh, absolutely. I feel that fully. Like, maybe saying like, oh, this is like a gift or whatever, kind of like sounds cliche, or like the thing that you're supposed to say. But I really do feel like it is. Like, I do feel like this is a powerful time in my life. And again, that's not to say that I don't feel like it fucking sucks sometimes, because I do feel like that. Like, I do feel like that too, but like both can exist, and I can recognize like the greater plan, like, you know, that there's more going on here, because I do feel like this is an initiation process for me. And I do think over the next few months, I'm going to uncover more and more pieces of this. I think, okay. So, and I'm taking all the kind of information in, the pieces, and I feel like right now it kind of feels like I'm having different information come in. And I'm filtering that out and taking what resonates. And if it's information even from others, or if it's information from my own spirit and soul, or like books. And it's almost like I'm making this collage right now of fitting all the pieces together. And I'm still in that space of not knowing, of being in the unknown. And I think that's actually part of it too. I think this is a huge lesson about freedom and sovereignty and being okay with being in the unknown, because the reality is I am in the unknown. We're always in the unknown. If I choose my destiny path, if I choose on my path of, you know, full surrender to spirit or full surrender to my heart, it's like, that is in the unknown. Like, it is blind trust. Like, it totally is. And I do think it is a lesson for that, because I'm in this space of physical unknown, and being able to really sit in that and being like, this is, and like, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but it's just like, you are in the unknown. Like, you can go into all the different timelines, because all the timelines exist too. Like, it's like, in this space, it's like, this could get better right away and go away, and like, best case scenario, or this could be, you could be on blood thinners for the rest of your life, or this could, or you could die. Like, you know what I mean? And I just have to be comfortable with going into each of those timelines and being like, okay, like, I surrender to that. Yeah. I surrender to the process of it. Ultimate. And I think it has been a huge lesson to me in that, because I think as much as I'm like, oh, surrender to the process, and I do that, or I work on it, there's also like pieces of me that was like trying to micromanage, or it's just like, okay, I'll surrender. But then my brain is like, and this is like not my fault, this is our programming and conditioning. But you know, my brain is like, okay, well, how's that going to work? And how's that going to work? And how's that going to work? And like trying to like kind of like fill in the blanks. And it's just like, can't do that.
No.
So I think that's a piece of it.
Exactly.
I do think the joy and creativity is also a piece of it. Like, there is like, and there is like a physical, well, there was a physical block in my body. So figuring out like, what does that translate to like energetically too? And I think that's more with the joy and the creative stuff. So then like, and it also gives you a time to really like slow down. Like, before this, I felt like I was It was interesting because I felt like I was at the healthiest I'd been. Like, I'd been being the most active in my life. Like, I'd been doing yoga every day. I'd been working out every day. I'd been taking OSA for a walk every day. I've been doing my cold plunge every day in the morning. Like, I felt like I was, like, the most, like, active and felt the best that I had in a while. So it was interesting for that just to be like, whoa, like, none of that now. Yeah, it was definitely, and I think it was just, like, looking at what was actually working and what wasn't. And it's just like, yeah, it's great that you're being active and taking care of your body in all these ways, but what way was I maybe not showing up to, you know, like, my fullest potential or to what my soul was calling me to? And I think there's some more for me to uncover in that, and some, I mean, deep medicine in that too. And I think some of it too is also around receiving and the ability to receive. And I've been working on that and leaning into that. So I was in the hospital, and my mom and sister came to see me. And even that, it was interesting how, like, sometimes you don't realize how, like, you, when it comes to receiving, it's interesting how, like, a lot of us are so programmed to, like, not accept support and stuff, right? Because I'm even thinking back on the times when, like, a friend is like, oh, I'll pay for this, I'll give you money. And I'm like, no, you don't have to do that. So why don't I just accept it? Like, you know, like, I'm asking the universe for support, and then, like, someone's coming to support me, and I'm like, no. Like, and I'm feeling bad and guilty because we've been programmed to feel that way.
Yeah.
So then, like, I was in the hospital, and my mom and sister are like, well, we'll come out and, like, help you clean the house and take care of the dog and, like, come see you. And my first response is no. Like, you don't have to come out. Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, just let yourself receive, right? Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Just let yourself receive. And so on that note, my mom and sister did come out that weekend. They came out late on Thursday night, and I was discharged from the hospital on the Friday. And that Sunday, Lucia, Linking Awareness, we've talked about her a lot. We have a few episodes to plug. I don't remember which ones, but if you wanted to go listen to those about my experience out at Eagle's Eye Ranch. She had one of her Linking Awareness Observer days where she does her energetic healing and her energetic work co-facilitated with her horses, very, very special horses, Lyra, Cash, and Nova. And Alyssa's been able to meet them too, which is pretty cool. So she was having an observer day that I said a while ago that I was going to go to. And then I basically, way before that happened.
Oh, I didn't know.
And
that.
Then I reached out to her daughter and was like, probably not going to happen. Like, I'm probably not going to make it. Cause I'm just like, I didn't know at that point when I would, because that was going to be the Sunday and it was the Friday. I was still in the hospital. I was like, I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. I'm also just getting home. Like, I'm probably going to be exhausted. And my mom and sister are here, yada, yada, yada. But then I was just feeling into it more. And I'm like, because once I was discharged, I was like, you know, this might be really, really good for me and really, really powerful. And when I checked in, the guidance was, go to the day still. And I was like, okay, shit, like, this is gonna be a long day. Like, these days start at, like, be there, like, starting at 9, be there before that and end at, like, 5. Like, I don't think this day even ended till 6. It was, like, dark out. And my mom and sister are here. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to check in with them and see if maybe they would like to go, because that was a whole interesting process for me too, because at one point I really did want my mom and sister to go out there and see what these sessions were like and to meet Lucia. I don't know if I've talked about this yet on the podcast, but I had been doing my mushroom ceremonies. I had done a few of those, like sitting with the plant medicine in the fall. And then I got the beautiful opportunity to sit with the Kuntanawa tribe from the Amazon up here in Canada for that retreat in the fall to sit with grandmother medicine ayahuasca. And as well as like, I'm just like meeting new people. And this, like, when I met Lucia last year, it really kind of kicked off these new relationships of like calling in my soul family. Cause at that year too, my word was connection and community, or was connection for the year. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. 2023 going into 2023, that's my cool. year for the, or my year for the word, my word for the year. It's all the same shit. Was connection. Yeah. I was like actively calling in my soul family. Cause I hadn't really, cause I moved out here, from Alberta. I moved out to BC and hadn't really found, I had like some people that, you know, we had some neighbors that we hung out with and would see once in a while that were kind of older than us, but I hadn't really found any girlfriends that had really stuck yet. Like I felt like most of my relationships were mostly online with either like you or like my friends that lived in Alberta still. And I was really missing that. And I just wanted to call in that anyways. But meeting Lucia, who is also crazy because if you haven't don't already know, I met Lucia through Alyssa's sister who lives in Florida, and I hadn't met Alyssa or her sister in person at this time. And she was the one that told me about Lucia so and that she lived so near to me and I need to go to this ranch and stuff. So
yeah,
that was about a year ago now. It was February 2023.
It was.
And when Lucia talks about the ripple effect, like, holy shit, the ripple effect. So through her, I kind of, and then I did these trainings with her in the springtime too. And just like all of these doors of like connections were opened, and which was really, really beautiful. Yeah. And then I sat with plant medicine. Anyways, I digress. In the fall time, I remember talking to my mom, and this was a very important lesson for me of discernment, because I was just excited. I was just excited about the Aya retreat that I had just been on, and I told her too much of it. And yes, that is possible, because we do get to use our discernment in these cases. And I told her too much for... She just wasn't, her nervous system, her consciousness wasn't ready for that information yet, you know? And I didn't check in and use my discernment beforehand. I just told her everything or whatever. And so she wasn't ready for that. And so it kind of scared her. And she reacted with telling me that I was in a cult or genuinely believing that. And that was extremely triggering for me. That was a whole.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
There is actually, because one of my friends,
plenty of people, that Leah, can relate to that.
Who does light language, who I think I've mentioned before, and has been out at Lucia's and stuff. Her parents also, hopefully she doesn't mind me saying that, but her parents also, I think, had a moment of when they felt that way. And she had told me that. And then it happened to me when I didn't like think it was going to happen, because I felt like my mom had been so supportive of my healing journey up until then. And now she's just like, this is not normal, Michaela. Like, you're in a cult. I have a bad feeling in my gut. Like, who are these people even at the ranch? Because it's just like, Lucia has this, you know, ranch with the horses, and she just called it the ranch because it's just like, it's easy to say. But I could also see how it's like the ranch that could sound a little... And that was really triggering for me, because now I'm like, okay, well, for one, you don't trust me, mom. Triggering. Two, I'm doing the healing work. Thank you very much. Like, I'm breaking cycles, bish. Like, like, how dare you?
There's
just so many layers. And then it was just like extremely like triggering to me too. And then she's like, this is how I feel. This is my gut feeling, blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh my god, what do you know about that? Sorry, love my mom, but just being honest about my right. feelings.
No, but it's true. Like, you know who's connected to their, you know who in your life is connected to their intuition and who maybe is not as much.
Yeah, with love, anyways.
Or you have some ideas.
That's just a comment coming from my pure emotions, because who am I to say who is connected and who's not? It's not fucking up to me. Right. Like, it's not any of my concern, but no. just how I was feeling like no. in that moment. So that had kind of become a thing since then. That was like, I felt like putting strain on our relationship, and
yeah.
It was definitely difficult. It was really difficult for me, actually. And then I kind of, you know, said to her on the phone back in the fall, like, I hope that you can come out one day and, you know, meet Lucia and kind of see what's going on there and, you know, meet some of my other people that I'm like close to. So then the opportunity presented itself when Lucia was having an observer day on when my mom and sister were out there, and they were only out there to come see me, and I had gotten out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
So I just asked, I messaged Lucia's daughter and was like, is there enough room for all of us? Like, well, and stuff, because then we would have been coming as just observers for the day. Cause other people, I think there's like other people were getting sessions, but everyone else is just there to observe, because it's so, so powerful just to observe too. Like, the observer effect is like a whole thing that we've also talked about. And she said, yeah, for sure. So I asked my mom and sister, like, would you want to go? And right away my mom was like, yep. So she wanted to get in there and figure out what was going on. Yeah. And I was like, I could already feel, I was like, this is going to be important for me. This is going to be big for me. So we went. And it was a big, long day, and we were sitting there as observers. And there was one point where I actually got called into the ring. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, shit. Okay. So I got called into the ring.
As a surrogate? No, or
just got called in.
Okay. Okay. I never heard about this, by the way. People listening, you haven't told me.
So I got called into the ring, and I was asked to use my X-ray vision, so my intuitive senses, to feel into what was going on for somebody else.
Oh.
And that was really interesting. So then I was in the arena with the horses. Mm-hmm. actively like working on somebody and just feeling into my intuition of the energetic work that needs to be done and what needs to be, you know, what needs to be moved, what I can do here. Like, and Lucia's like asking me questions and I'm responding, and then I'm like doing the things. And so that was pretty cool. And then I'm just like standing there after, and Akash, who I actually have had a past life with, walks up to Lucia and kind of like goes like this at her hand, and she turns to me and she goes, Akash says that we're supposed to hold hands. Well, yeah. Wow. So I'm like, okay. So we're in the ring, and so I hold Lucia's hand, and then I just knew, I'm like, what's gonna happen now? So I just held her hand, and I just closed my eyes, and I just let myself breathe. And I was just starting to breathe really heavy and go into it. And then Akash walked in front of me, and I was starting to like sway, like I was going back and forth. And then like I was leaning really into him, and she's like, just go into him. Like, just go, go, go. So I was like, okay. So like, I kind of stepped closer to him. And she, like, because he was like pulling me into his like heart field, and you could feel it. Like, I was like swaying, into him. He was pulling me into his heart field, but then I kind of stepped closer to him, and he kind of moved away. But he was like close to me, and I was just feeling him. And she's just saying, like, just go there, like, just go in. So I just like drop into that place with him. Like, man, you gotta check it out, people that are listening. Like, it's linking awareness. on Instagram, just because like these horses are absolutely incredible. Like all of it going on is so incredible. So anyway, so then I'm just like there breathing. I'm just like going in, and then I can kind of feel my body like getting like hot, and then I can hear her behind me, and she's like, "I got you. Like I'm behind you." And she's like, just keep going with it. So I'm just like in that space, just going until I start, and like I start to like really sway now. And then like I'm going back, and I kind of try to stop myself, but she's like, "Nope, just go. So she grabbed me. So I like fell back. She grabbed me and she laid me, laid me down. And then it's like, and then you're just in this space. It's like this void, you know, like, Lucy even described it of being in like that state of oneness, which it really is. So there was something going on with like my body, and and that was like being reset at that time. Oh, and before this too, it was really interesting because while I was sitting with everyone watching during someone else's session, she pointed to me and she said, "Michaela, I'm observing a blue bean over there in your arm, breaking that up right now." And I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Okay, cool." Wow. And then, so I was in the ring, and now I'm on the ground, and I don't remember all of it. I know she, you know, she's speaking about what's going on to everyone else too, or pieces of it, as well as doing whatever she needs to do. But so I do remember her saying, like, "Blood clot." Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do remember her saying something about like how us light workers or whatever, like we're so quick to jump up and help somebody else, and then when it comes to receiving ourselves, mm-hmm. we struggle. And I know that was a piece of it, because it was like, yeah, I came up, I jumped like so easily, was able to come in and help someone else, like energetically. And it was also like this reminder of like, you can do this, and like, this is what you're here to do. And I felt that really, really strongly too, because like, I know I can do that, but I think there has been a piece of me that's been like avoiding stepping into that potential even further, just because of like what you and I were talking about before, about like the emotions it brings up, or maybe the fear of failure, or whatever it is. But it's like that is my work, and there's more of that story of, you know, that energetic work, that energetic magic that wants to unfold and also wants to be witnessed and acknowledged by me. You know, like there's that piece of me who really wants to be seen and also really wants to shine, because it's like what piece of me is like dimming myself a little bit to not be seen, because being seen feels scary.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not to say that I haven't done work on that already. Like, we're doing the podcast and I'm showing up in that way. And there has been layers of that work, but where are there pieces that still need to be acknowledged and witnessed, and where can you like go deeper in it? And I think there was a calling for me to go deeper into what it feels like to, you know, just like shine really authentically and unapologetically. And also tap into my gifts and like fully use those, like fully tap into that to its like highest potential too. Not just like, oh, I'll do a little something here and I'll do a little something there. And that does feel vulnerable for me to share, because, you know, like this is like, it's a big process that like, I'm not only my body's going through, but like my spirit's going through, of like releasing and letting go of actual blockages, like you know, like letting go of these limiting beliefs, the feelings of not being good enough, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, like it's like that's actively playing out in my body, and now I get to move through that and release it. So it feels like an initiation process.
It's like this embodiment to, it's this embodiment at what I was going to say, it's it's this ability to share your light and to share those gifts to your fullest potential, because it's like you have this, you know, it feels like you have certain things embodied to yourself, but then it's like you're not showing off your embodiment of it and the gifts outwardly. And it's this energy of when you're shining in your fullest potential, that is done regardless of how seen you are or how not seen you are, because like a star is going to shine regardless, and like it can be observed or it cannot be observed, but it's like independent of that. But yeah, it feels like this, like this fuller embodiment and also sharing, but yeah, sharing up to the full potential, because you are sharing on the podcast and you're sharing things, but there, yeah, like we said earlier, like there is another deeper layer of, and it would be one thing if you weren't meant to share more, but like, you know that you are, and you know that you've felt this resistance around it. So it's like, you know, that's the resistance, yeah, is the magic and is the medicine and is, you know, it's what you probably need to do more.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, talking the talk and then like walking the walk. It's mm-hmm. like, I can say all that. Well, and I do know that, like you said, like the resistance is your medicine, or to go in deeper, and then it's like, okay, so what does that look like for you now, Michaela? Like, what does that look like for you now to like go into those pieces of yourself? And another piece of it too is like, when you're talking about the embodiment, there is this piece around being in my body and having to be here and there being nowhere to go. There was, right before this happened, actually, I think it was like exactly a week, I had a session with Pam, who I've talked about Pam on here before too. Bryce got me this for my birthday. I was really excited to have a session with her. And I'm not going to get into the full session today, because I would like to talk about that on a different one. But part of my session, well, most of it revolved around this, where my spirit wasn't in my body. Oh. And my spirit has never been fully in my body since I was born.
Oh.
Yeah, which is huge.
I just heard Anna Wood like just shared something that I was like, why does that sound so familiar? I'm pretty sure she just shared something similar to that it was like a huge initiation process for her, that she like had that exact realization of this incomplete embodiment, and then she had this soul merging, and it was like, it took her like weeks and weeks of cocooning to like embrace that. And I think a lot of it might have been this forgiveness, or this like, you know, going back to those previous times where you knew that, but you didn't know that. I don't know. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that, because it was like, I was like, that sounds exactly what Anna Wood just said. She was like, my spirit, I've never been fully embodied or fully like incarnated, even though like, yes, you are, but you're also not. Like, anyway. That's interesting.
Yeah. It was kind of like that. And so, and like when she told me that like, I was like, whoa, but like, it also like resonated. I was like, yeah, I can feel that. And that makes sense. So we worked together on putting me back in my body, where I was fully in my body. But then like, what does that look like now? Like, my spirit hasn't been in my body for the whole 28 years I've been on Earth, and now it's in my body.
A lot to take in mentally. Like,
and now a week later I have this like this development in my physical.
So
I think it was pieces of that too.
Oh, that happened right before the blood clot, right? The reading?
A week before it was discovered.
Oh. Did she do something where she like put the rest of your spirit back in your body? Is that what you said? I might have just missed it.
Yeah, we did put my spirit back in my body.
Oh, I missed that detail. along the last
few months. Oh yeah, you didn't hear that?
No, or you never, you has still never told me about your session with Pam, so I didn't know. In this last month, I never knew that that happened a week before the blood clot. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
So then it's like, what piece of me, it's like in this integration process, and it's like, because I think there's a few things too. It's like now I'm, my spirit is in my body, and it's like, this is like a little uncomfortable and weird. And like, and also that integration of what, like the integration and what that process actually looks like and how that translates in the body as well. And like, I think this is like, I'm not like, it's not that it happened from that session. Mm-hmm. These are just all different pieces that I'm like bringing in together. And I think that's kind of like all of this together. Coincidence is like a rare case. But yeah, it's very interesting, really, you know, like what pieces of me, because I think there's also this piece of actually my body going through energetic upgrades to the consciousness. And I think that there can be, I think some things can happen sometimes in the body with that as well, like trying to, you know, like trying to integrate and calibrate. Yes. The shift in consciousness that is happening quite quickly in my body, or at least that's how I feel in my experience. Yeah. Because I mean, like, yeah, well, like you, people have heard me talk on the podcast, like it has been like constant death and rebirth for me, which is in my genetic makeup. Like my Scorpio rising is death and rebirth. So, like this is part of why I'm here, is to master these death and rebirth cycles. So there's a reason why I'm going through all of this. There's a reason why I'm going through these death and rebirths. Like not everyone will have them this quickly, but I am, because this is part of my medicine and part of my journey. But then, yeah, so maybe there's like some calibration stuff that's like also happening in the body to calibrate these upgrades and stuff. So it's almost like, this is just what I'm actually getting right now. Like, what if there's kind of like a glitch of like, not a glitch, I don't want to say it's a glitch, but like there's this like consciousness and these upgrades that are trying to calibrate, but at the same time, there's like this releasing and resistance and like maybe limiting beliefs or subconscious that's trying to leave the body, and it almost gets like clogged up or like blocked up in a way.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
And especially if those things are around joy and creativity, which is the blood. So then that's, you know, that's directly related to like my blood system. And then like, so what is that? Like, how does that manifest? And does that look in the body?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wasn't, like, if I was being honest with myself, I wasn't feeling pure joy. Like I wasn't by any means like depressed or sad, but I think I just like wasn't experiencing just like joy or even like leaving room for that. Like it was like in my head, I'm like, I gotta do this and I gotta do this and I gotta do this, and it was just like, where is the space for, you know, just like dancing or painting or being creative?
Yeah, I could see that.
And so since then, yeah, and I think that's part of, and like, and I think that is part of releasing like the old stories and the old beliefs, because there is like that old paradigm that tells us that we, you know, we need to be productive. We need to be doing this is how it works. Like this is how your date, like whatever works. And yeah. So, you know, which like part of me is just like releasing that too. And also a big halt, like this isn't working anymore. Yeah. Like this isn't working for you. Like you need to slow down and feel into this and you know, redirect or whatever, or just listen. Like this is like a pause, a push pause and listen time.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's all crazy and really interesting. But yeah, I really resonate with that for you. And I can really see that in terms of the joy, but it's about infusing that joy into the day-to-day life and kind of just transitioning out of that obligation, dragging your like feet energy of, yeah, which we all get in, just that, yeah, the obligation energy. Because it's like you have embodied, you have discovered so many new things recently and just unlocked so many different things. And I feel like there obviously has been joy and has been epiphanies in these experiences and these new connections, but it feels like maybe it was a lack of embodying that into your day-to-day life and they were more concentrated to these things. And I think that's a good lesson for everyone.
I mean, I think there's pieces of it. Like, I don't think it's like 100% any of these things. Totally. Like, that's why I said I'm still taking these pieces and making this collage, mm-hmm. because I do think there's also some ancestral stuff going on with like the bloodline, and kind of like a healing phase around that too that's happening. And so then that's also a call for me to do this ancestral work. And like with that, it's also interesting because I'm walking the medicine wheel this year. That feels like a really big deal to me. And that came together very last minute. And I'm going to do the south direction this weekend, which is the healer archetype. So the medicine wheel is, this one is like a Peruvian lineage of indigenous wisdom. So this is like, you know, in ceremony, really learning deeper about it, like how to hold sacred ceremony and be in that space. And then also like the mountain shamanism of connecting with the elements and then like the directions and spirit and the earth and like deepening that. And so this is like a year long training that I already can feel. And like, this is going to be like nothing I have ever done before. And the first one starts this weekend, and they say the south direction can be the first one can be the most intense because it's about your personal healing journey. So you can clear that to move into healing the collective. Mm-hmm. And it feels like it's no coincidence that I am dealing with these physical things in my body at the same time that I'm going to move into doing this medicine wheel work. And the self-direction, which is about my own personal healing. So I think it's going to be really powerful and interesting what comes up this weekend through all that. I'm really looking forward to that, as well as a little nervous because like I know that it's going to be intensive, especially with what I have been experiencing. But it's also like, you know, this is where I get to be supported in that ceremony space and also build that connection, you know, with the earth and the elements. And like, because that's also part of it too, is like, and that's even what Lucia was talking about, like, oh, how easy is it, you know, for her to come in and help out and do that work, but then like more difficult to receive or whatever. And it's like, this is also a thing where it's like, it is an initiation and I am powerful and no one's coming to save me at the end of the day. Like, this is up to me. Like, the medical system's not coming to save me. The medication's not coming to save me. Like, those things can help. I'm very grateful for my medication right now. And that's a whole process too, because at first I was like, fuck, but I am grateful for it. Because it's helping me, but no one's coming to save me. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's just the truth. Even with like an actual medical condition like this, like, no one's gonna save me.
Exactly.
I have to save myself.
Yeah, true.
So now I get to do that energetic work, and it's like, where do I get to, you know, clear these things on my own? And where do I, and I can be supportive, like I can co-create with the earth and you know, use the fire for transmutation and the water for clear or whatever. But I'm also now going to step into building a deeper relationship with those things. And then I get to do the work on myself, where it's like, I am like powerful and I can clear this and I will clear this. And what does it look like for me to do the energy work and do the work on my body now too, instead of just like waiting for something to happen?
And you pave the way for others to do the same thing with themselves. When you crack the code for yourself, you'll not only be able to guide others, but just you living that blueprint paves the way for others to do similarly.
So yeah, so we'll see. I'm in the unknown right now. I don't know what this is going to look like moving forward. Mm-hmm. This is an unfolding live story.
Real time.
In real time. So I guess we'll see. But that is where I'm at. That is what I'm moving through right now. That is what I'm navigating.
Thanks for sharing.
So I'm processing deep in the process.
Yeah.
And yeah, and there's been moments, and it's also been a really beautiful time of just like letting myself feel everything, because there's been some moments where I've just fucking screamed. Like I just feel like I needed an energetic release. Mm. And I just grabbed my pillow and I just screamed into it. And then I was just like sobbing, crying. And I'm like, holy shit, that needed to come out. And then, but it's also this like getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, because I think there's a past in my life or past a time in the past where I would have been like, I'm not going to scream like that. Like, mm-hmm. or like crying's bad. Like I'm not going to sob, but like while I'm in it, it's almost like I can get to that space where it's like, I'm sobbing, crying, but I actually can feel the joy in it because I'm releasing something. And this is just like a human emotion and it's not bad. It's just an experience. It's just a process. And I'm actually grateful also that I am releasing and I'm letting this go right now in this way of like of sobbing in my tears, like through my body, because it clearly there's clearly shit stuck in there that needs to come out and I'm letting it go.
Yeah.
So also proud of myself for that.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be. Yeah. Well, you're getting through it and it's only gonna elevate you. And we'll figure it out. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to wrap there unless there's anything else you want to share?
Nope, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's really important to share because like I don't think we really talked about it on the podcast, and you know, the whole reason that we have this is because our experiences are a mirror reflection of everyone else's that are on the path and that are going through this, and physical dis-ease and pain are like, that's a huge thing that a lot of people have and have to kind of navigate. So I think it's good that we talked about it. So yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for sharing that. And we'll, you know, continue talking about it. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. Please make sure to go follow the podcast on Instagram at The Orphic Podcast. All of these episodes are also on YouTube at The Orphic Podcast on YouTube. You could please subscribe to us just for if you want to watch the video sometime. Just subscribe. Just do it. It's free. And I'm on Instagram at interdimensional.astrophysics. Michaela, what else do you want to plug?
Well, yeah, I'm on Instagram at Mariposa Moonchild.
And yeah, thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.